Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Connect service. It's great to see you this morning. I know it wasn't so straightforward getting to church for lots of people with the marathon in place, but you're all very welcome. It's great to have you with us as we gather. Hopefully, on your way in this morning, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Just wanted to mention a few things that are happening this week. With the bank holiday tomorrow, there's no toddlers tomorrow. And also to mention, on Tuesday, the crafters are meeting. And on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, the ladies' afternoon friendship group are hosting an open meeting, which is open to anybody in the parish. And they've invited the local historian, Aidan Campbell, to come. And he's going to share a little bit about the big houses of Belfast. So that should be an interesting afternoon on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. All are welcome. This coming Thursday is Ascension Thursday, and we're going to have a special service at 7:30 in the church. There's no prayer meeting over Zoom on Thursday evening because of the service in church. And our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Compline. I've also received an invitation from Craigie Presbyterian Women's Group, who are inviting members of the Mothers Union and any other ladies in the parish to an open evening on Wednesday evening, the 8th of May, and that's at 7:30 in Craigie Presbyterian. So all ladies of the parish are welcome to that meeting, which is an open meeting on Wednesday, the 8th of May at 7:30. I also just want to draw your attention. I received a letter from the bishop, which he's asked us to read today and next week. And it's drawing people's attention to a series of special services that are taking place between Ascension and Pentecost. And in his letter, he writes of how God's church changes lives and changes community. And he wants his church to grow. And he's certain that every local congregation has the potential to grow. And churches can grow when certain biblical values are in place. And so over the course of 8 evenings, there's going to be special services. 4 of them are being hosted quite near to us here in Willowfield Parish. And 4 of them are being hosted in Dollingstown. And the topics over those evenings, all the details are available on our parish website and on the church's Facebook page. But the topics include things like evangelism, worship, creating healthy Christian communities, developing a culture of generosity, intercession and prayer in the local church, ministry that impacts the local community, keeping the Bible front and center, and ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a series of 8 evenings that take place from next Sunday, the 12th of May, right through to the 19th of May. And again, every member of every parish is warmly invited. All the details are on the parish website, and the bishop would want everybody to know that you're personally welcome and invited to these special services. And they promise to be very interesting, and there's a whole cross-section of people who are coming to speak. And there are details, as I say, on the parish website and on the church's Facebook page. Also, I mentioned that this coming Thursday is Ascension Thursday, and the Mothers Union have a resource, which is a little prayer journal that will take people from Ascension through to Pentecost. And there are some of these still available. There was Mothers Union meeting last week. Some of these little booklets are available. They have devotional readings, and the church wardens have them at the back. So if anybody would like one of those as a little extra devotional resource, do please feel free to take them from one of the church wardens as you go out. I'm going to invite us just to enter into a spirit of prayer as we come together to worship. And our opening prayer, which we're going to share together, is going to just appear on our screen as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you bless our time together today, and each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience.
Amen. So we're going to join together to sing our opening song, Be Still in the Presence of the Lord. If you'd like to take your seats. We're coming now to the part of our service where we remember and we recognize that there are times when we've not lived the life that God would want us to live, when maybe we've got things wrong, and we're going to take the opportunity just to say sorry to Him and to be assured of His offer of a fresh start to each one of us as we come to Him and bring our hearts before Him. So let's take a little moment of quiet before we share our prayer of confession together.
God of everlasting love,
God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Merciful Lord, we ask you to grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness, we're going to sing together our next song, Thank You for Your Kindness. Going to invite everybody to take your seats, and Jeff is going to come and bring our Bible reading to us this morning.
Readings morning is taken from John chapter 15, verses 19 to 17. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for, using my name. This is my command. Love each other.
So as we think about that love that God has for us, that's the theme of our next song. And as we sing this song, we can stay seated, and the children are going to leave us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. We're going to stand together now to affirm our faith in the God who loves us and who believes in us as we share in the words of our creed.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
During this year, we're thinking about the theme of the kingdom of God in our Connect service, and in our next song, we're going to remind ourselves that God is still on the throne. You still reign, and you're still God.
One truth will be my story, and you still reign and you're still
God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you still reign and that you're still God. And we pray that you would help us to learn just a little bit more about you and your great love for us this morning. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So at the beginning of the service, I was mentioning that over the course of this last year, we've been thinking in our Connect services, in our life groups, which meet in people's homes, about the theme of the kingdom of God. And we've been thinking about how that kingdom is shown forth wherever God's values or God's principles are lived out among his people. And we've been trying to figure out or to visualize what that might mean or what that might look like for us in our particular situation and indeed in the world as a whole. Would it change if we believed in the kingdom of God, if we experienced the kingdom of God, would it change the way that we speak to other people? Would it change the way that we treat other people? What sort of actions would it drive us to get involved in? And I'm conscious as we meet this morning, it's a bank holiday weekend, and as we know, there are lots of people out pounding the streets of the city in the marathon. It's supposed to be moving towards the summer, and we're hoping that the sun will eventually shine. And it is a time when maybe people are starting to think a little bit in their heads about their holidays. So I thought that we might kick off today with a little currency game. And I know that there are some people out there who are very keen and competitive quizzers. So I'm hoping that you're going to be able to tell me the answers to these questions. And they're all to do with currencies. So first one up here is, what is the currency in Japan? Any answers for Japan?
Yeah.
The yen, yes. Let's see if you're right. Correct. Give yourself a big. Okay, well done. Let's try number two. What is the currency in New Zealand? Anybody been out there? The dollar. Any other takers? Any queries on the dollar? No? Strong convictions there. It is, in fact, the dollar. Well done, everybody. Here's a bit of a trickier one now. What is the currency in India? Rupee? Is that what I'm hearing? Are they right? They are indeed. My goodness, the brains have come in on the bank holiday weekend. Give people a day off and they're firing on all cylinders. What is the currency then in Poland? The zloty. Are you right? You are indeed. Last one. Last one. What is the currency in Brazil?
Cruzeiro?
No, not Cruzeiro. Not pesos. No, no. What is the currency in Brazil? Have we finally unstuck everybody? Will I do a little victory dance? No, I'll spare you that. What is the currency in Brazil? We're going to hear it is the real. I didn't know that either, but it is the real is the currency in Brazil. So nobody got 5 out of 5, apart from me, because I knew the answer before we started. But I wonder from today's Bible reading, which Jeff read for us a few moments ago, can anybody tell me what is the currency in the kingdom of God?
Love.
What's the currency in the kingdom of God?
Love.
Correct. From today's Bible reading, what's universally recognized as important, as a value underpinning the economy of the kingdom, is love. And before we start thinking about something that's maybe very airy-fairy or fuzzy-wuzzy, I want us together this morning to think a little bit about what this currency of love looks like in the kingdom of God. And so here's the first thing I want to say about this love in the kingdom of God. It is an obedient love. And in our reading, which we heard a few moments ago in John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus said, "If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." So the love of the kingdom of God involves studying the life of Jesus rather closely. And when we study the life of Jesus closely, we see that he was constantly looking to do the things that his Father wanted him to do. And there were lots of other voices that were tempting him to go in other directions and to please the crowds or to please other people. But Jesus was always striving to be attentive and to be obedient to the commands of his heavenly Father. Can we be attentive to him? John in that reading describes it as abiding in him, constantly reminding ourselves of Jesus' presence, looking at the sorts of things that he's doing, noticing the things that he avoids doing, and trying to do the same in our own lives. So we're called to live an obedient life in response to his love. And in so doing, our love will be an obedient love. So I wonder, what else can we say then about this love that we're called to underpin our life in the kingdom of God? So we've said it's to be an obedient love. The second thing I want to say is that it is to be a joyful love. "I have told you this," said Jesus, "so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete." And sometimes we do meet Christian people who radiate a really deep joy that goes beyond their circumstances. Their circumstances might, in fact, be very challenging and very exhausting. And yet, these people have a peace and a calm and a joy that stems from something within them. And that is the presence of Jesus. And one of the best illustrations of that in my own life came about just about a week after I moved to this parish in 2009, when I went to visit an elderly lady who was very close to death in a nursing home. And I had brought some flowers from our harvest Thanksgiving service. And when I knocked the door to her room, there was a very faint voice on the other side, and I called from the door and I said, "I'm the new rector from St. Finian's," and she told me to come in, and she said, "You are the man that I've been praying for over a year." And while I didn't really feel like the answer to anybody's prayers, to be honest, she was very frail, she was very unwell, and she looked to me to be very, very close to death. But I went in and I spoke with her about the harvest service. And the theme of that service had been all about gratitude. And as we were speaking together, I asked her if there was anything in her life that she felt grateful for. And almost as soon as that question came out of my mouth, I felt it was a terrible question. I thought to myself, what on earth have I just asked this poor woman? How could she feel grateful for anything, being so unwell and frail and confined to bed? And yet, immediately, she replied and she told me she was grateful because she was a child of God and she was beloved of Him. And I wish that everybody in the church had been with me in that room at that moment. And she died just a couple of days later. But sometimes that joy which underpins the love of the kingdom of God is a joy that goes beyond our circumstances. The third thing that I want to say about this love, which is the currency of the kingdom of God, is that it is to be a self-sacrificing love. Greater love has no one than this, says Jesus, that he lay down his life for his friends. And where we live right now, we might not be called to physically lay down our lives as Jesus himself did for us. But I wonder, how can we put the interests of others above our own? How can we give that most precious of commodities, time, to people who maybe need someone to listen to them, maybe to give them a lift, maybe to assist them in practical ways, perhaps with prayers or with financial assistance from time to time? I remember in its early years, the youth charity Summer Madness used to run a program called Street Reach. And as part of that program, the young people taking part used to go into different parts of cities and towns throughout Northern Ireland, cleaning litter, running holiday clubs for young children, doing odd jobs and gardening for older people in the community, and in essence, building the kingdom of God through a self-sacrificing love. The final thing that I want to say about this love, which is the currency in the kingdom of God, is that it is to be a fruit-bearing love. And when a community starts to live this kind of love, it very often has a very significant impact on the community around them. It changes lives. It changes behaviors. And after some of the great religious revivals in history, in Ulster back in 1859, in Wales in 1904, when many people encountered the love of God in a personal way, in a dramatic way, it also had a really significant impact on the crime levels in those communities. Crime levels fell dramatically. And so often, people who come to faith in Christ come after they have seen something that is different in the lives of friends or family members since they have come to faith in Christ. Discovering that God is real and that He loves us has often driven people to do the most remarkable things. And I was thinking of a man that I met when I went with the Bishop's Appeal to Cambodia back in 2010. And this man started a charity, the Community Cambodia Health Organization, after he sold his house. And he started this community health organization to rescue people from slavery and from being trafficked. And he wanted to teach or to equip people with skills to make a living after the conflict in that country. Whenever people look at our lives, do they see that, that faith is alive, that it has made a difference to our lives, to the way that we live? Is it bearing fruit? So as we draw to a close in terms of our thinking about love as being the currency of the kingdom of God, I wonder, is love the currency that underpins our life in our church community? Are our lives marked out by obedience, by a joy that goes beyond our circumstances, by self-sacrifice? And is that love that we experience as God reveals his love to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, is that love encouraging us to do beautiful things for God and to make a difference as we live for him together in this place? Let's think about these things as we stand and we sing the hymn of our offering, which is a hymn in which we offer our lives to God. Jesus, all for Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning for the gift of your love in each one of our lives. We thank you that it is a multifaceted and all-embracing, powerful force that can change not just individuals, but communities and nations. Thank you for how it reaches out to find us when we are lost. Thank you for how it brings hope when we experience despair. And thank you that it reminds us at both the best and the worst of times that we are not alone. Would you chip away at the barriers that we set around our hearts? Would you dissolve the bitterness and hatred that often take over our thoughts? And would you give us strength to forgive those who have hurt us? Pour out more of the love of your kingdom into our lives and over our church and community. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray today for the nations of the world, and we pray especially for all who are refugees. We remember those who've been displaced and who find themselves in overcrowded camps or making dangerous journeys over land or sea to seek refuge from war. We ask, Lord, that you would heal the traumas that people have experienced. We pray that you would give wisdom and compassion to governments and to policymakers as they seek to create safe ways of people living together in peace around our world. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We remember today all our young people who are preparing for important exams. We pray for their teachers, for their parents. And we ask for a steady approach to revision, for the capacity to retain knowledge and to give of their best. We pray too this morning for all who are running the Belfast Marathon. We pray for the runners and their support teams, and we pray for all the charities who will benefit from the fundraising that they have done. We pray too this morning for friends who are unwell at home or in hospital. We pray for those who are receiving treatment, and we pray for their families as they go through that experience together. And we remember also those who've been bereaved, as we pray especially today for the family and friends of Betty Curry, whose funeral will take place in Carrador on Wednesday afternoon. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort them in this time of loss and sadness. And in a quiet moment, let's bring to God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to our service today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And as we think about the self-sacrificing love of the kingdom of God, that's the theme of our next song as we think of the life of Jesus and we sing together the Servant King. Take our seats as we prepare to go out into the world. And as we prepare to go out into the world, let's seek to bring to bear those values of love that are at the very heart of the kingdom of God. We're going to pray together in a moment. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we bow our heads for God's blessing. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. I'm going to ask people just to leave your chairs where they are. Often people clear them all away in preparation for toddlers. We're going to leave them where we are because we're going to be able to set them out for the crafters meeting on Tuesday. But if we can just leave them where they are at the end of the service. We're going to join together to sing our closing hymn as we sing together, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Thank you.